Das wird Ihr Geschäft des Jahres. Die Opel Gewerbeoffensive. Profitieren Sie von Leasingangeboten ohne Anzahlung für ausgewählte Opel-Modelle. Zum Beispiel der Astra Sports Tourer schon ab 129 Euro Nettorate. Hand drauf. Nur für Gewerbekunden bei allen teilnehmenden Opel-Partnern.
What's up, Fool Podcast? Welcome, everybody, to the What's Up, Fool Podcast. Some of you guys are barely logging in and are on YouTube.com. For those of you who just made it out, thank you very much, man. We appreciate the love. We got Rodrigo Torres right here wearing a cool shirt.
Hello. How you guys doing? You were going to say?
No, the cool shirt.
Oh, thank you,
man. I thought I saw it like in the movie, bro, like that movie Big Trouble in Little China.
The little headband?
He's wearing a Hawaiian T-shirt. And then the undershirt is a shirt like that.
Little Rising Sun or whatever.
Hell yeah. I thought you were just going to be a little cool with that.
She was
cool,
dude, though, man. Escorted in San Clemente.
A lot of courage, bro, wearing beige. Bro, you should just take off. You know what I did yesterday for the first time? Also, we have Lisa Esparza right here on the Wheels of Steel.
I'm not on the Wheels of Steel.
We got Emma, technical engineer.
Emma's on the Wheels of Steel.
And we have Ray Lepowski from Chicago, comedian. Welcome, extraordinaire. He's gonna fill in. We're gonna get to know him. He's gonna tell us some war stories. We're gonna talk about Cubs, Sox, Bears, Dolphins. All right, what's up, fool? What was that, bro?
What were you gonna say that you did yesterday for the first time?
Oh, we forgot.
Oh my gosh!
You met Robbie Fingers, though, right?
Oh shit!
That was bad.
Shout out, man. You know me, man. I get starstruck, bro. Whether it's an old legend comedian or anyone. If it's an old comedian, I don't even know him, but if he says hello to me and I say hello back, I feel like, okay, you and I can hang out now. I'm going to follow you to the restroom.
A geege.
Because I met that guy from SNL.
Who?
The one I was in. He was the boss in Grandma's Boy.
Some sort of hiss.
A hiss.
The boss in Grandma's Boy.
Yeah, the boss. He was the one that said namaste.
Namaste. Oh, Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon.
Ah, from
he
Weeds.
Said hello to me, bro. So I said hello to him too. Plus, I was on the show with him, so I got to kick it with him. Then he went to first class. Then I went to my seat by the restroom aisle. Yeah, so dude, I'm walking around chilling. Had a long weekend, but I was in Vegas doing press. I'm at the airport, and I see like this healthy looking man with a little square face, tanned, you know. Wearing a hat, just him. Nobody recognized him. I recognized him right away, bro.
The mustache?
But he had the mustache, but I had to make sure it was him, right? Because I don't want to walk up to anybody and say, what's up? So I looked at his bag right there, bro, and I saw Oakland A's. Okay, fuck it, I'm going in. And I said, what's up, Raleigh Fingers? Damn! God damn! What an honor. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe this. used to play with one of the greats when I was a little kid, man, like John the Count Montefusco.
Damn.
You know? And I started naming all these pitchers, bro.
Catfish Hunter.
Catfish Hunter, yes.
Vita Blue.
Vita Blue. Luis T.
Yeah, man.
You know, like, and you were part of the A's, man, when you like the good A's, when Reggie was there, when he was Miguel Reggie, Mario Reginaldo Jackson.
Joe Rudy,
bro.
Was it Burt Campanaris?
Yeah, and then that dude that used to coach the Houston Astros, but then he played for the A's too. Ford or something. Tom Ford. I forgot his name. Dan Gray. Tom Gray. I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot.
Forget his name, bro. But he goes, wow, you know a lot of old-time pitchers, right? So then I took a selfie with him, bro, and I said, man, oh, my God. I'm here with Raleigh Fingers. You know, greatest of all time, Hall of Famer. Fuck all you hipsters. This is a real fucking bus that you fucking posers.
Yeah, I see that video.
Just hit me. But anyway, dog, then I started noticing that I got a little creepy afterwards, so I just left. But damn, dude.
That's cool, man.
Hell yeah.
He's tall?
He's tall and healthy, bro. He has a big ass hand, bro. Like That baseball must have been a golf ball to him.
Raleigh Fingers, dog.
Yeah, man. I called up Joey Coco Diaz because I was supposed to do his podcast, but I was fucking, cocksucker, I want you to do it when you're fucking not tired. I want you to be alive. Alive for what? When I get there, I'm going to be loaded. Yeah, but I was tired, bro. At least I was tired,
it's,
too.
It's best that you didn't go.
So I didn't go, so I took a long sleep.
That was last night?
Yeah, I mean, you have 8 flights to take this week alone. So
recharge your batteries.
You need to.
So Joe Diaz went to the baseball game with
Eddie Bravo
and the kids from the class, from the school. 16 kids, general admission. And so we started talking about baseball, bro. Old-ass players, bro. Remember the Red Machine?
Oh, yeah.
With Sparky Anderson, Joe Morgan.
Of course.
Steve Concepcion.
Yep. Johnny Bench, Griffey, Ken Griffey Sr.
George Foster.
With that black bat, 50-ounce bat. They say he had the heaviest bat outside of Babe Ruth.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, they say that bat was heavy.
And then back, none of those hitters from the Reds were home run hitters, bro. They were just bunting and hitting doubles and triples and knocking over back catchers.
Scoring runs?
Here's one. Cesar Geronimo.
Damn.
Played for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are...
Geronimo, bro.
Those were the guys that were playing when you guys were little kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. There were more Latino people when we were kids, huh?
Yeah.
And more black people.
Yeah.
Like, there was a time, bro, and I saw this documentary when everyone, like, the Pirates were playing another team, and they stopped to notice that it was the first time in Major League Baseball, it was all black people on the field.
Pirates had a lot of black players.
Dave Parker. Willie Stargell. Mm-hmm.
And then that guy who...
Frank Tavares.
The guy who pitched on LSD, right?
The guy who pitched on LSD.
Begins with an E.
Search your list, come on.
I can't think.
Oh, was it Stargell?
Yeah, there's a Netflix movie about him on Netflix.
It's a great Doc Ellis.
Doc Ellis.
Doc, there it is. Yeah,
that fool said he took an acid tab and hit the only perfect game
in
MLB.
It was a perfect game.
He said there's a Netflix movie of him
on Netflix.
I thought it was a 30 for 30, though, no?
It's an actual, documentary.
Yeah.
But it was so good because, I mean, but the thing is, though, you know, LSD, I mean, it in addition to tripping, like, you can become hyper-focused with it. You know, it does, small doses, microdosing can help you focus.
I bet
focus.
You his acid was so good, maybe he had it under control, that he saw the strike zone, bro.
It was clean, probably.
He saw a yellow strike zone.
I can't imagine doing anything like that.
I was going to say, is this book knowledge? Or is
No, he said it.
No, I know, I was saying, she was elaborating, and I was like, oh, she's really breaking this down.
No, there's microdosing.
There she goes.
I've been looking into microdosing a lot lately, just interested in it, because it helps with depression and stuff like that. But also...
Are you putting it on my food or what?
No.
I've been feeling relaxed lately, bro.
No, I'm not putting it on
I'm growing boobs. I'm growing boobs, bro. What up?
That doesn't have anything to do with acid.
Yeah, well, no, but what time I did it?
I've been looking at microdosing for mushrooms and things like that because you can become more productive. There's no tripping. There are no hallucinogenic effects when you do microdosing, when you do small doses. But you have to experiment with what a small dose is for you. You know, your body.
That's figuring it out.
That's
how it was
part.
With me. My daughter brought me home some chocolate from, you know, one of those weed joints.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Cupcakes.
So she brought me home some chocolate, and I took a piece, and then she's like, how was it? I said, it didn't do anything. She's like, well, maybe you need to take a bigger piece of chocolate. So the next day, I'm sitting on the couch, and I took a bigger piece, like almost half the bar. I couldn't move.
Yeah. Oh,
I was like comatose. I was like a mummy. I was
done.
Like, man.
Were there mushrooms?
No,
the remote was right there. I'm like, I couldn't even get it. I was like, I was stuck. I was like, whatever was on, I watched.
Everybody's different, though, dude. You got to find your little happy medium.
Yeah, I was gone.
I had a little cabin salmon. I woke up feeling great.
Oh, mushrooms?
Yeah.
Oh, Mickey Shroom says everybody should take LSD. That's his recommendation. So.
That's crazy.
The only thing about LSD is that some people can go crazy and never come back.
Oh, you
I think those people are already crazy.
But this, the thing is, if you are
just got intervene and say, you know what,
well, like, on
we're going to make you crazy.
If you are predisposed to things like, say, schizophrenia.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A lot of people have that thing that'll trigger it. Mm-hmm. And then, because we knew a dude that was smoking pee dogs. And after that fool just started doing karate kicks, never went back to school. Still lives at home with his mom and dad.
What do they call that fool? Watas.
He'll sit there and look at a pole dog for like 45 minutes and then start kicking it, dude. And
he'll be standing there at the corner and by the bus stop with nunchucks. Just standing there.
Why kung fu?
I don't know, dog.
released the kung fu that's part of his brain.
But he, that fool never came back.
Kung fu well, that's Jones. What, I think that's what happened to Syd Barrett from Pink Floyd, too. Like, he supposedly drank a bunch of liquid acid, you know, and just never came back.
I had a Japanese friend that used to come to the hood, and his name was Dean, and he had a brother named Phil. I don't know if his real name was Phil. But, no, David. Or James, I don't know. Regardless of the name,
it's one of them. It's a name.
That fool,
he had a name.
That fool took off, man, on an acid trip. From what I hear, you know, from those guys, the older guys, and he never came back. He came back, but not all the way. Like he comes and goes. And when I was living over there in Atwater, I used to see him at that Silver Lake Mental Hospital right there, where mm-hmm. where you used to live mm-hmm. with your ex husband and Ike. So I used to always see him chilling right there. But he never came back. So he's like institutionalized. Right. All he wanted was a Pepsi.
And that fool that used to work with us at La Cucaracha, he said he smoked P-Dogs when he was like 13. And
Primos?
12. Yeah. No,
or
no.
PCP.
PCP.
I don't think there's any microdosing
he said,
of PCP.
He said he's always a little late. He's like, you go, hey, Tommy, come here, dude. Huh? Like always, like a 2 or 3 seconds.
Sound like he's faking that shit, bro. To not work.
Nah,
dude. An episode on Seinfeld day when a guy fakes death.
Yeah, like Rob Schneider fixed.
He's not. He's there's something. There's a little screw loose in there, dog.
But well, he was well enough to pass the exterminating test, right?
Dude, it took that fool 17 times.
But PCP's different, though. That's different than LSD. Way different. Yeah, that'll fuck your brain up, man. Yeah.
What, PCP?
You know PCP, right?
It's elephant tranquilizer.
I'd be scared to try anything.
Because like done anything?
Like Lenny Bias, that's it. Like Lenny Bias, like they say first time you ever did cocaine and he died.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want to be
that's
one
that
of
Celtic that. Player?
Yeah.
You got drafted?
Yeah.
He had some good pure shit, though.
Yeah, I don't think that shit was cut, dog.
No, either that or he wasn't his first time.
Or he had
I don't know.
It wasn't his first time.
Yeah, but you can have a heart attack. Anybody can have a heart attack any time.
But his heart's beating already fast and he's over there running around. Mm-hmm. It was going to happen sooner or later. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's odd. I was always scared.
When you
to do
crack,
man,
you're not supposed to run around doing marathons. You do crack.
You chill.
You chill, man. And then when you're done, you rip the carpet out of the hotel room and look for crack under there. And that's when you know you're done. When you start to realize that you're ripping the carpet out of the hotel room, that's when you stop and you go get more crack. Hey, what the fuck? What's doing? I have money in my pocket. But you don't go on a mission, man, and go. Go play baseball or do activities.
I think years ago you were on a good one, and I saw you running around the parking lot.
Well, you couldn't do crack. You couldn't do crack. Don't be on a baseball field.
I'm not the guest here tonight. It's not great.
But don't people like
really? Wait, let's get back to the jogging in place.
You ran around the parking lot down on Main Street when you used to live down at the Loft, second in Main.
So what chasing me dog?
This was the New Year's Eve night.
I'm trying to stay
in
shape. My usual resolution was to lose 10 pounds, and I couldn't start at midnight.
And you ran around the parking lot, like, full speed afterward.
How many laps did I do?
I don't know, but then I was like, seven. I'm just going to go home because this is not my scene. And I
he ran around of there.
Right? And you stayed, and then I picked you up the next day, and it wasn't your mess. Yeah, it was bad times. Bad times. That was those bad times, 2008, 2009.
I didn't even think about running now.
I know. Running sucks.
You should have with me.
You were full speed around that parking lot. You know, the parking lot
how
in the back.
How fast
of
was I, though?
I don't know.
Right, you're too.
Kind of
you're,
I thought you were going to hit a car.
You're too old where you don't even think about it because you'll get tired. I'm tired from thinking about it.
You work out all the time. What are you talking about? You're still tired.
No.
I can't believe I was running around a building.
Good dabbling. Hey, don't be back in the day when people were using cocaine to go dance all night and all that shit. Doesn't that get your heart going?
Yeah, but. Yes. Then they mix it with alcohol to kind
you're
of pack it
too, don't right too? Don't they say that with a boner and all of that stuff it last you last all night?
So I was going around the building though.
No, around the parking lot. Okay, the parking lot in the back.
So I was square dancing.
Yes. Yeah,
okay then.
Light dancing.
Yeah, it was a weird day.
Yeah. Oh my God!
What's up, fool?
It's Matt, raining, eh?
We met Ray Lepowski in Chicago back in 2002 or 3 or 3
days, dude. It's been a long
what
time.
What was that club?
Riddles.
Yeah, long
that
time.
Place provided everything for us, but the cash. Nah.
Now, that place, Park,
they already got paid. That dude was cool with me. They took care of like anything we wanted. They got even when Rodrigo said, "I want a haircut." They send
his homie Sam to cut it for me in there.
Yeah, he got a haircut in a bathroom and shit.
In the hotel, dude.
All prison style.
That club went above and beyond. And I think people truly thought, like, or really respected the club and just the people, the environment. It was one of the best clubs in the country to do at the time.
I always got paid. And even when, like, There was a problem. Like one time, I 2 weeks before the show, he told me that the kitchen's broken and they're going to do some renovation or whatever. I'm going to cancel your date, but I'll get you later. I was like, I was cool, whatever.
Where was this?
Riddles.
Oh, Riddles.
It was owned by Chicago. Yeah. By a cool ass dude. What's his name?
Brent.
Brent Flores.
Flores, yeah, man.
Yeah, Chicano to the max.
Orland Park.
Illinois. You know what I heard about him? I don't want to like misquote, but Sam said that Michael Pence, right? He's the vice president, right?
Yeah, because he's in Indiana now.
In Indiana now, right?
That's where he's from.
And that's where Brandon probably lives now. So they've been like trying to talk to him to maybe run, bro.
And get into politics?
Get into politics because he has a fan base and he's Latino and he's Republican. So you never know. Brandon Flores, 2020.
That's what Mikey O should do. He should get into
politics. I'm thinking Mikey O should just do
he
that.
He knows everybody.
Everybody.
You know,
I've seen him in forever.
Rahm Emanuel.
You went with him too?
Rahm Emanuel's not running for re-election next year. No, he's not. So I think Mikey could put a stop to all that stuff.
What did Mikey? Oh, wow. He's from Chicago.
Yeah.
You work with Mikey O'Kendo?
Yeah, I ain't working with him forever. Years, man.
Where at? What show you do?
I have no
idea. East Chicago?
I have no idea.
Give me some Mikey O, bro.
Oh, I can't even do Mikey O.
He's got a little Chicago in him and a little Puerto Rican sometimes. Yeah. And he's got a weird mix.
What is he, like Filipino or something?
No, he's Puerto Rican.
Oh, he's Puerto Rican?
Yeah, to the bone all the time, bro.
Damn, I thought it was like part like...
He's hardcore,
bro. He booked Willie one time with Alfred Robles, bro.
Did he used to do... Joe's on Weed Street?
Yeah,
Joe's on Weed Street.
Still does.
Yeah, he still does it?
Yeah, it's a nice
packed that shit.
No, yeah, it's great. Yeah. Great, it's great little venue. Intimate.
300.
Like 400 people, but it's a nice, intimate venue. It'd be a great spot to like shoot a little special, mm-hmm. like DVD or something.
It's pretty high up, though. I don't know what the acoustics are like if you were recording it.
It's
nice though.
Yeah, it is nice.
I like it.
Then Mikey O, man, he has a character, bro.
Mike Robles,
like Frank Quinones.
He's got like a grandma sort of Puerto Rican grandma character that he does. Sometimes he dresses up like her and shows up on Facebook. Weird.
Yeah,
got a gray wig and
Mikey O is running the base motel now.
I forget her name. It's like Belinda something.
Belinda
the something. I can't remember her.
Wow.
Yeah, you've done that?
You don't do characters?
No.
Where did you start, Ray?
I started in Chicago.
What, like a long time ago, 20 years ago, like me?
19. How did it start? I was in my car leaving the post office.
You're a postman?
Yeah, I used to work at the post office. And I heard a contest on the radio. And so I went to it, and I had an Armani suit on because I was a supervisor.
Don't be lying.
And so I went and it was on the south side of Chicago where I never would go. I didn't know
postal
nothing.
Supervisors wear Armani suits?
I did. I literally had an Armani suit on off
was
the rack.
Collecting envelopes.
Off the rack, it was, and this is back in, what, 99. So off the rack, it was like maybe $2,000.
What?
Yeah, and my dad would be like, "What the hell are you buying a suit like that for?" Or suits like that. And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "Where the f you go?" I'm like, "What do you mean?"
You
could have
gotten 4 suits, bro, or maybe 5 or 10. 10 suits.
10 suits.
Ten suits,
LA.
Bro. At Goodfellas, no suit fellas.
Yeah, but so I heard about this contest. I went to it. Never told a joke in my life. It was the longest running comedy contest in the country at the time. Was called the Miller Genuine Draft Comedy Search. I ended up taking 3rd place, and everybody was like, "Who the hell is this white dude?"
Wow,
like,
wow, congratulations!
So, yeah, they're like, "You know, who is this dude?" But the way that it's way
who
that
won?
I don't even know who won.
Exactly, bro. Yeah. third place always goes to be a champ in life.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who won that.
And you did your time in your suit. You went up on stage on
For the audition I did.
Oh, okay.
And then, no, but for the rest of it, I still, like, dressed up, but... And you know what's weird? You know what I felt weird about? When I saw you on the airplane, when we ran into each other in D.C., I was like, damn, I was driving up here, I'm like, damn, I had the sweatshirt on when I ran into Felipe on the airplane. I was like, he's going to think, like, is that the only sweatshirt he's got? I'm like, damn, I should have wore a different sweatshirt.
So you'd never told a joke in your life.
Never told a joke.
How much time did you do? 3 minutes, 5 minutes?
We had to do 3 to 5, I think, for the competition.
So what did you do? You just went up and started talking, right?
I started talking about this one Chicago comic because he was the only person that I had recognized. I saw him on Def Jam. Hmm. So I talked about him, and he hated it. And he was like, he'll never work in comedy. Like, you know, I'm going to blackball this dude.
What?
Yeah, like he hated me because I did a, like I did a gay joke about him. Oh. Like he was like I was gay and he was gay, and like that I was with him, you know, the night before, and so the place went crazy, and you know, and they were like, "Who the fuck is this white dude? This dude is nuts," and you know, so 19 years later, I mean, for like a for a good like 9 year run, I was doing everything. I was on every TV stand up show that there was
when you first started.
Let's see. Well, actually, like 2 years in, I started, you know, from the Comic Views. I did, you know, like four seasons of Comic View, you know, Comedy Central, HBO, Showtime. I was on everything. And people were saying, oh, Ray Leposky is one of the next comedians to blow up. And I'm like, ah, no, it hasn't happened yet. So, but.
When I was in, when I first started, like a year and a half in, 1996, I got a TV show, Showtime Latino Laugh Festival.
Oh, wow.
And then they every year, for 3 years, they put me on a show. So every year. And then after that was done, the same producer started another show. So I got to – every time this producer went to a show, Jeff Valdez, he'll put me on a show. Same thing with you, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're friends with a guy who started Def Jam.
Yeah.
Like, you – because I remember when you and I, we did that show with J.B. Smooth.
Yeah. It was horrible.
They were treating,
I don't think they ever aired that. Right?
I know, man.
No, they didn't run long.
Yeah. I remember I saw Ray, and he looked defeated, man, like tired. Like he must have flown down Chicago on a red eye. He landed at noon. We're taping at 5. Oof. And he showed up with his bags. He has this PA person in his face and yelling at him, you know, you got to get ready for the – because they wanted to get ready for the stand-in. And that's what just said, like, quiet. After she he waited for it to be done. I'm going to take a shower and take a nap, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, sometimes.
And I said, man, I wish I could do that. Right. They'll fucking kick me out. Some fucking guy here on a bicycle.
But no, sometimes people don't realize, like, what goes into, like, even taping some of these TV shows.
PAs
like,
don't know.
No.
You know the routine.
Like, you know the routine.
Yeah.
Tell us about the routine.
Well, sometimes, again, like for instance, like, the Comic View, one of the Comic View seasons that I was taping.
Nobody Casino?
From my season before, just off how like the reception that I got from it and like the emails and the write-ins and whatnot to BET about, you know, again, how well the performance was. The following year, I had like the best spot on the taping of a show. And then George Lopez ends up coming in. And they're like, you know, Ray, we're going to have to bump you. Mm. And I'm like, I didn't mind. Of course, I have to take a back seat to George Lopez. This is George Lopez. You know, he's got his TV show. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, they were looking at me like, you're not going to take a back seat to George Lopez? I'm like, of course I will. But why do I got to take the back seat?
Yeah, why
like,
me?
Bump somebody else off this show because I got like the primo spot in this taping.
925.
So I had to freaking do the 1 o'clock in the morning taping.
Oh man.
The audience is tired.
But the audience had been there already for 5 hours. Oh. And because they thought that there was going to be a new audience for the last show, there was no audience. There was nobody outside. So the audience that was already there, they kept begging them people to stay. So now they already had been there for 5 hours. Now they got to sit for another two for this last taping of the TV show. Maybe 200 people stayed out of like the 1,000. And so it's 200 people in a 1,000-seater, so it's empty. You got the 200 people sitting up front, so they're only panning in on the 200 people, obviously. And I'm the first comic that's got to go out. And I was like, it was, oh, my goodness, was it awful. That when I say I bombed, like, oh, my goodness. Them people were just looking at us. Like, everybody bombed on that show. You know what? I take that back. The only one who didn't bomb was Lisa Lampanelli. She went out and for
woke
whatever
everybody up.
Murdered that thing. I was like, what the hell? And she was Lisa Lampanelli. I don't know if she's still like this, but she was like really, what's the word I'm looking for? Like
blue?
But like in terms of where she always feels like she doesn't do well. Mm-hmm. So she's like, she has to, I'm not saying that she's looking for acceptance or for like, oh no, you did great. I'm not saying that that's what she's looking for. But she never thinks that she does well. Like, she literally came backstage and she was like so nervous and like, you know, scared. And she was like, you know, how did I do? And we're like, what? Like, you just murdered this thing. We all bombed. So it's, you know, people don't realize like sometimes those type of things affect your set as well and what you have to deal with. But oh well.
Yeah.
Did they end up airing that?
I don't think we aired. I know Lisa did, but I don't think I aired. I think I got cut. I don't think I aired.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's like when you did the Miami South Beach thing with Cheech, and there was no audience because you guys were taping at 11 a.m. Yeah, they were going out on the street, right? What are you doing? They were going out to, like, pull the audience in off the sidewalk, like, begging people to come in, right? Cheech is hosting, you, Al Madrigal, Johnny Sanchez. Who was
on that
show?
See, he started off with 1,000. We started off with 10.
He started with nothing,
then we
yeah.
begged 40 to come in. It was
so
sad.
So it sounds like
was,
everybody's
there
bombing.
Was people there,
there was nobody
there. People at our show, bro, with grocery bags, bro. Like they were doing groceries, bro. Like
right.
And
milk.
And Gilbert Escobar. And Gilbert Escobar and I don't know who else. Hey, man, we're having a comedy show. La, la, la. And they were like, yeah, how much it cost? Nothing. All right. They went there, bro. Like, you can hear a bag going. They're like 50 people, bro.
In a theater.
How embarrassing it was because Cheech Marin yeah. was hosting. Like, he hasn't been on anything before that, like a comedy show. Yeah, and nobody yeah. showed up. Like, and it was during the South Side, the South Beach Comedy
yeah,
Festival.
South Beach, yeah.
But we were like in the side of the South, you know, the South Side had the main show, blah, blah, blah. We were like in the project side, you know. We were in La Calle Ocho, bro. We were in the, we were like in the cheap side, bro. Nobody showed up.
But in the daytime.
In the daytime,
horrible.
Bro. That shit started at 3 o'clock.
Oh, my yeah. God, dude. That's,
yeah, those tapings suck, too, when you got those early ones.
And Al Madrigal was on the show. They fucking made us bomb. Gilbert Escobar had to do warm up and a set.
Really, dude?
Damn.
Wow. For the same audience?
Yeah. Bro, that.
Same audience for 50 people.
Yeah. So, bro, after that show, me and Carlos Osco and Joey Medina went to this bar and I pretended I like wine, bro, too. I got drunk of free wine that Joey Medina was buying. I was drinking slow, bro, talking and talking. Carlos Osco was talking. My glass was empty. I kept going. I drink some good wine, but I miss wine, bro. But you know, wine leads to alcohol, which leads back to fucking ripping carpets off, bro.
Yeah, don't even go down there.
There you go.
I remember that one time you were like, "Oh, I think I'll just stick to wine now," and I was like, "How long is this gonna take before it gets back?"
Merlot.
We're out of Merlot. So you drink?
He lives for
you
Merlot.
Drink?
Yeah, I drink.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Ray Lapowski here. The only guy who's happy that Khalil Mack went to the Bears. How do you feel about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I am happy about that. I saw Felipe, he posted on Instagram. He was like, if Mack goes to the Bears, he's like, I'm done being a Raiders fan. And I was like, well, are we still going to be friends, though? Will we be cool?
To be fair, you shared Manning's post.
Yes.
You weren't really saying.
You know how many people I did a lot of press for that show in Las Vegas. And everybody, since the Raiders moved to Las Vegas, everyone asked me about Manny Maldonado's post, but they thought I posted it, and I was
like, "Oh, you know, I did. I didn't notice that."
And I was on TV, and nobody bothered to see repost.
Yeah, they ignored
so,
it.
So, oh man, yeah, sure. I told that guy from Fox News. I said, "Listen, that was a repost from Manny Maldonado, and who lives in Modesto, who's a diehard Raiders fan." Yeah. And I was reposting it, and I asked people, what you think?
Yeah.
So everybody turned around me and wanted to kill me.
They said, bye, Felipe.
They were telling me, bye, Felipe.
All right.
Unfollow. So then the guy goes, so how do you feel about the Raiders trading Mack? Listen, man, I've been upset since the Raiders went back to Oakland. when they went to Las Vegas, that's closer to my house.
Yeah, I'm ready to go over to Vegas.
We're ready, man. We're ready to stay in Brawley or Barstow.
But people brought up a good point, though. I mean, I'm happy about them going to Vegas, but like your average Joe who goes to a game, now they've got to get a hotel. They've got a lot pricier ticket, you know, higher price ticket, higher price weekend to just go to that game now.
You know what? That'll keep the people that start fights away from the
game.
That's true. anybody who's friends with Birdman won't be there.
Economics.
Anybody who drinks cheap beer won't be there.
That's kind of true.
You know,
yeah.
Like
anybody. Well, you still have people from Henderson coming over.
You see, oh, there you go. Don't piss off Henderson.
Henderson's not nice.
Henderson in Nevada is where all the cholos and gangbangers from
moved,
LA
yeah.
and Southern California go to retire, bro.
Relocation
start a
program.
New life. Become Christians, bro. Or, you know, really, like, change your life. But Henderson's gangster now.
Yeah, they got a victory outreach.
It started off when all the Crips, all the Bloods, and all the Mexicans started moving out of LA during the racial riots, you know, the race fights between blacks and Mexicans. In the 1990s, they moved to Moreno Valley. And what did Moreno Valley turn into?
Midnight at Noon.
It turned into More Negro Valley. That's what they were calling it, you know?
This is not your phrase.
Not my phrase.
Let's make that clear. Right. This is a repost.
Right.
No, this is actually a statement that some black fool said on a stage.
Right, yeah. It's not your term.
He goes, this black comedian one time said, well, he goes, man, this should just call it. No. It was even a rap song, Brian. Nice Cube.
It was just an old ass joke I used to do at Cheers.
There you go. See, Rodrigo said it, people. Yeah.
I do a joke when I, like, if you do, like, performing in New York, you know, you're in all of those boroughs.
Yeah.
And one time I was performing in Harlem. Oh, I might have been at the Apollo. And predominantly.
Oh, you performed at the Apollo.
Oh, yeah. Predominantly black audience. So I was like, do you guys like that, you know, some white people now are moving in and, you know, all the gentrification and all that stuff. And then they're like, hell no. I was like, well, now you know how we felt when you guys started moving in.
That's a good joke, though.
Yeah, like, now you know how we felt when you moved in.
It's the old reverse, but it's a good joke. But people, you know what? That's a great joke, but you know what? If you were to say that now or post that, they only see the first part.
No, right.
Yeah. They'll see the first part, and that first part will trigger them so much that they won't even have time to laugh. Fuck you, motherfuckers, for not laughing.
Yeah.
That pisses me off now.
It is.
People are so hurt.
They stop thinking.
And, you know, people are so hurt. And, you know, there's comedians that we know that do, like, the crowds, you know, they're more accepting of those words. Because there's a comedian component. That motherfucker's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He could be offensive, but his audience, his fan base love that dude.
Yeah.
But you put that fool, he ever tweets that joke, one of his jokes, and then somebody with a lot of followers reposted it. Forget about it, man. People are gonna cry.
Yeah, because like you said, they're only looking at the first part of it. They don't see the whole thing. It's the same thing like with when I do a joke again. If it's say like a black audience or more of a black audience. When I talk about February and I'm like, you know, I want to speak on behalf of all white people. We can't wait for this month to be over. And they immediately get all offended and get mad. And I'm like, let me finish before, you know, you get all your panties in a damn bunch. And he's like, ah, F you, fucking cracker, all of this shit. And I'm like, dude, like, let me finish. I said, I'm going to show you my intellect. I said, were you not just as proud to be black in January? What about when March 1st comes? Are you not still just as proud to be black? I said, what I'm saying is black history is not 28 days. It's 365 days. Just like all history is. I said, look at the Hispanic people. Look at Mexicans. You're bitching about 28 days. They got a fucking day.
They got half a month and a half a month.
They're the hardest working people on the planet. I said, you don't hear them bitching complain about nothing. So
we have Cinco de Mayo and 1 week of Hispanic awareness.
Yeah, Heritage Week.
So
yeah.
I'm like, it's just people.
That's what Morgan Freeman said. Man. Exactly everything you said, Morgan Freeman said in a quote, why not delegate it to 28 days? Why are you giving me 28 days?
Well, supposedly, it's Frederick Douglass's birthday or something. I don't know. But
this should be sending a little check or something, you know?
Little reparations or what?
But also, there's I mean, you're right. The separating it out can be problematic because history itself, American history itself, is black history. Black history is American history. You can't separate
you
them.
Can't.
You can't.
No. It's
where America got its capital. Yeah. Its original capital.
This country was built on the back of black people. And you cannot
deny it.
It
was a black holocaust.
Well, it is.
It's all encompassed together. You know, and the reason, like, I tell people, like, we live in a black and white United States. We live in a black and white world, but especially in the United States, it's a black and white world. I said, but then, who even came up with those colors? Like, nobody's black and nobody's white. Right. Like, white is this, you know.
Mellow. Right.
This. Plus, and everybody else is in those two spectrums of colors. Mm-hmm. I said so, but the only two people that bitch and complain about everything are white people and black people. Yeah. You never hear the yellow people, for the lack of a better color, Hispanics and Asians, bitch about anything.
Or Jim Pompa, he says he's taupe. I'm part of the taupe people.
Yeah, the taupe.
Yeah. Speaking of colorism.
The taupe. The shirt. The
taupe. Oh, yeah. Speaking of colorism, you know, I have a joke about colorism, you know, like, whatever, right? And then some lady hit me up on Twitter. Felipe's joke about colorism, blah, 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 whatever. And then I explained it to her. She was cool. But what I want to explain it to you.
Exactly.
But I explained it to her. But then she said, you know, has anybody, you know, who listened to that joke thought about having a place to talk about
have
it?
Have they ever wanted to talk and discuss it?
Like, hell no. My joke ends after the laugh, biatch.
Right.
We're going to have a lecture. Right.
Have you run into that problem too?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
People forget that we're not running for office.
You're right.
We're not trying to save the world. You know what?
You're not doing the TED Talk or Q&A.
Let me tell you how it is, man. I did the Bray Improv last week, and I was standing outside chilling. Then I was thinking to myself, I looked at Rodrigo, you know what? People shouldn't complain to me, man. I work at the mall, too.
Yeah, I did.
Pretty much.
I work at the mall. You're the improv right next to Old Navy. Don't complain about my show. I work at the mall.
Because most of them are in malls now.
Yes, I work at the mall, biatch.
Right.
Talk to the manager. Building planner.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that girl, she had some interesting points.
Yeah, she did.
But
she's that
younger generation who's very woke.
The millennials.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You're so woke, you can't even figure that out.
Well, that's the problem.
Give me a break.
But I don't think they understand. This younger generation doesn't understand what comedy is. And
that's why you can't do colleges no more.
Right. And they haven't
seen. It's so PC.
They haven't seen the older comics,
personal
like
computer.
George Carlin, these other people, Richard Pryor, that make you think. You're supposed to go home and think about, you know what? That was funny, but
like,
it's also but deep. It's also
Carlin would get murdered today if that man was alive doing.
Oh yeah,
comedy.
Richard Pryor. Too.
Well,
Eddie Murphy.
He
has that bit on the N-word.
Yeah.
If you listen to that bit, you know people can consider it racist, but it's not. Just breaking down what that word is. Mm-hmm. Ignorant.
It's like I had a dude approach me at the Improv here in L.A. Approach me after the show. He said because I said the word fag. and he got all offended. And I was like, I said, I'm sorry. And I said, are you a fag? And he was like, no. I was like, I was going to apologize. I meant no disrespect. I said, do you have gay friends? He said, no. I was like, well, what the fuck? What is your beef then?
It's Everybody's always people who are not affected who want to be complaining.
They always want to have a voice.
Yeah.
And I said,
everybody wants a platform.
Yes. You just want to feel like, hey, I did something.
I stood up for somebody today who never asked me to stand up for them.
He was like, well, that word's really abrasive and offensive.
You didn't tell that fool, let me show you my end leg.
Well, that's the thing. He has a joke. He has a joke about people in wheelchairs, right?
Yeah.
But you've actually had people in wheelchairs come up to you. I love that joke.
Oh,
I'm so happy for representation.
So they had told me you should do more jokes about wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can't. Man, people might get offended. He goes, who? People who can walk, bro. People who can fuck standing up.
Yeah.
You know, people who can fucking tap dance, dog.
There hasn't been one person in a wheelchair who's ever been mad at
you. Never, man.
And you know, sometimes it's like even when I look around the room and you say you do like if you got a fat person joke.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, but sometimes it's the fat people that are laughing the hardest.
Oh, yeah,
and
the
skinny people are the ones offended. I'm like, how can this obese woman be dying and you're over here fucking pissed? Like, why?
Yeah.
I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
Victim's
advocate.
The other day, I was referring to somebody. Oh no, last night. You know, after my interview, I gave a CD, one of those drop cards I have on my album to this lady. Then I told him, I remember the cameraman was a fan, right? But I don't know his name. I said, I think the cameraman was a fan. I go, which one? The fat one. Then I walked away. I said, thank you very much. And I walked away. I started talking to my publicist, Veronica, and I said, you know what? 2 years from now, I'm not going to be able to say that. He goes, what? The fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, somebody's going to cut me off and tell me, hey, man, his name is Manuel. I said, well, I didn't know his name, man. I want you to know right away who I'm talking about. The fat guy.
The clinically obese guy.
Or the black guy.
Oh, yeah.
Or the fucking Asian guy. Who was it, bro? You know, bro, the guy over there, bro. The one, okay, fuck, he was wearing a red t-shirt, bro. Okay, fuck, I don't know, bro. He had fucking ugly ass hair. He had hair like fucking Mo. So now, the other person, we're playing a game now. We're playing fucking charades when I could have just said it was a fucking Chinese guy. But he goes, like, no, the guy with the fucking, the little guy, man, the guy that weighs 100 pounds. The guy that fucking looks like he has a ninja star on him. Oh, you talking about the Asian guy? Yeah, that's Luke. Okay, fucking, it was fucking Luke Shine.
You do a lot of black rooms, though, right?
I used to. I didn't know there was such a thing as like urban or mainstream.
Well, that's
you don't
all
you don't know
lately
that
it's been divided.
Yeah. Is that where you cut your teeth?
Yeah.
What's that
so,
mean?
So like
where he started.
Yeah. Oh. So you don't
like
know
baby.
That in the beginning. Especially like just from watching TV, you know, there wasn't anything out there other than Letterman and Leno and Letterman.
Yeah.
So you had the Tonight Show, the late shows and stuff like that. So then when Def Jam came on, everybody watched Def Jam. I don't care who you were, white, mm-hmm. black, Hispanic, Asian, everybody.
It was huge,
watched.
Man.
It was insane. It changed comedy.
Funny.
Hell yeah.
It changed comedy for the good
comedy
at that
was
moment.
Bland at that time.
Beyond
bland, man.
They literally were a voice for people to truly speak out and say what everybody basically
I
says.
Know, man. Like, back then, man, there was a lot of white comments. I just said they were not funny, but they're any of the improv. But enough jokes about burning toast. Like, I don't get it. I can't laugh at burning toast jokes or airplane food. I want the hoodie jokes.
Yeah, you talk about what's real. Yeah. I mean, if you, like, yeah. I did the Laugh Factory when Jamie still had it in New York.
Buddy, come back in 2 weeks.
Frickin', I did a shit joke, and the white host, who I had no idea who was, like, I headlined the room, and when I was done... Like, I killed the show. And it's, you know, everybody's there. White, black, Hispanic. It's Times Square. Get done. Have an unbelievable set. Selling my CDs. She says, after I'm done, she's like, oh, my goodness. Like, isn't he supposed to be some famous comedian and he does a shit joke? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're talking about me while I'm still in a room and you're the host? I said, so now I yell out. I said, oh, well, you do some relationship jokes. I said, you're brilliant. Like, that's not redundant. That's never been done before. I'm surprised you don't have a sitcom already. You should have a TV show. Like, who hasn't done a relationship joke? You're the first person ever to do it. So I'm like, you know, people, you even got comics that critique comedy.
Oh, it's
and
horrible,
critique comics.
Dude.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, do we shit? It's a bodily function. We do it. Like,
yeah, man, when you're not funny or successful – Or on a TV show, you become a comedy blogger. And that's how you do this shit on good comedy because you fucking suck.
But you've never told one joke.
Funny joke
ever. You
know
how somebody can be funnier. You know what somebody's lacking. You know why somebody sucks. Like, dude, it is fucking horrible.
And that's what, like, people who, like, there was somebody who was going to like, a comedy class. Like, I'm like, there's no rhyme or reason to this. There's, you know, you... Because people always ask me for advice. I said, the only advice I can give you now if you're an up-and-coming comic is try to become an internet sensation overnight like some of these people are doing. I said, because now our comedy clubs don't ask your agent, well, what's his credits? How many followers does he have? Yeah. It's all about followers.
All they care about.
That's the first thing they ask, what's your following? I deleted my social media years ago. I literally just got back on it. So people are like – I was in Whole Foods in El Segundo with my daughter yesterday, as a matter of fact. Some dude's like, comedian? I said, yeah. He's like, Ray Lepowski? I said, yeah. So I'm with my daughter, and I hate being with my one of my daughters because people look like I'm like, you know, the sugar daddy with, you know, this kid. I'm like, it's my fucking kid. Like, stop looking at us like that. And
how old is she?
24.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, aren't you like 35? How the fuck is she 24? Would you ever when she was 11? When you were 11? I said, no, bro, she's like, he's like 55. I say, hey, I'm 52. I'll be 53. Relax, I'm giving me some extra years.
So you had her when you were 19 then, huh?
No, I had her when I was 29.
Oh, 29. Oh, I'm sorry. 10,
yeah,
28.
So 29. Yeah. I'm like, I'll be 53 in December. Yeah.
I know when I walk up with my daughter, I look like a fucking Arab guy who just got a girl on fucking Tag Your Sponsor. And then when I walk with Lisa, people are high-fiving me.
Got you white one.
You always do that, man. Like, you ever dated a black woman?
My wife.
He's married to.
Oh, I was. My wife was.
Oh. Yeah, but did you ever get shit from people, or did she get shit from people? Or?
Oh, we did all the time.
It's always friends, huh?
Especially where I'm from, because I'm from the west side of Chicago, and I grew up in Cicero, Illinois. When I grew up in Cicero, it was ran by the mafia. I grew up with
that's
kids
where
whose
Al
dads
Capone moved in to took over the town next to Skokie,
yes,
and they that was their home front.
That because he got tired of paying off the Chicago
the
cops
mayor,
and politics, everything. Because it was a small little town. It was the first town outside of Chicago, 10 minutes from Cicero to downtown Chicago.
And it's got a Roman name.
I love it.
You had three. You had three major streets: Cicero Avenue, Roosevelt, and Cermak. Then you had two major highways, 55 and 290, going in and out of Chicago. You had the train, so it made sense to set up shop where Al Capone did. So, I mean,
no, there's a lot messier there, bro. They call it Chicharo.
Yeah, it's like 90, it's like 90 something percent.
It's Chicharo.
Like, Melrose Park.
I did a show there back in the days, and there was a family in Cicero that we went to their house, and they were all Mexican. You know, the kids were born there. So the dad was born in Mexico. And they have a snow and plowing business. During the normal summer, they cut trees and they sell wood, and you know they pretty much do whatever they can do. But in the winter, those fools were the first guys to have like a snow plow in their Monte Carlo or whatever, or in a truck, and they were providing snow plow for the hood. Mm-hmm. Then they grew, bro.
They do the hood last.
Because nobody does that for the hood, so they were doing it for the hood, taxing fools. But man, they made us a soup with meat And we put cheese in it, and they made homemade tortillas for us. Bomb. And then the youngest kid, he was like 17 or 18. That fool smoked me out, bro. It was fucking amazing. And the guy we were with, that fool, they made him quesadillas. Yeah, but that's where you're from, man.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up there, man?
I mean,
it must have been nice, huh?
Beautiful. It was cool when you look at it now, though, like, you don't realize as when you're a kid how racist it is and all of that stuff. You're a kid, so you go with what you know. You know, you grow up only around white people and white kids. I didn't know none of these kids that I grew up with, their dads were made mobsters until I got older. Like, literally made mobsters. Like, in order to be a made mobster, you have to be 100% Italian. So, you know, seeing this and then seeing these kids' dads are, you know, in jail now for the rest of their lives, and I was like, damn. So, you know, again, looking back, like when people say that they're a product of their environment, I say I beg to differ, because if that's the case where I'm from, I'm supposed to hate black people. Mm-hmm. And I married a black woman 25 years ago. So I said it's, you know, like people, that whole color thing too, though, like we always got looks everywhere we went. I was like, this is fucking nuts, man. Just because I'm like, if you're miserable in life, like people want to take out, you know, their misery.
Hell yeah.
They just want you to be miserable as well. I'm like, this is fucking crazy. Like, I talk about that on stage and I'm like, like, I don't want people to think, like, you know, because sometimes people compare me to Gary Owens, and no disrespect to Gary Owens whatsoever. I'm like, but we're totally totally different comics. But the only common is we were, you know, Gary's been married to, I don't know how long he's been with his wife now. I know 10 plus years, but I'm like, 25 years. Because then people think, like, this black woman married me only.
Just Jungle Fever. Or
he's this comic on TV, so yeah, she married material. Him because. Yeah, because he's, you know, he's about to be, you know, some big comic. I was like, no, she married me before. I didn't even do comedy then. And when I told her I was doing comedy, she was like, you're not even funny. And I was like, you know, gee, thanks. Like, thanks for the support. Like,
married
you're
the
awesome.
Supervisor with the Armani suit.
Yeah, she's like, you're not even funny. Like, are you fucking kidding me? And then I remember the first time I got my first gig, we were in our driveway at the house, and someone called me from Comic View, from BT. And I thought it was somebody playing around, and they're like, you know, hey Ray, it's Lisa, you know, from BT. I'm trying to book, you know, I'm looking for Ray Leposky. I want to book him for Comic View. And I was like, shut the fuck up! Like, who is this? And she's like, excuse me. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Is this really Comic View? I'm like, how did you get my number?
Damn,
and
bro!
It was my first Comic View. I did in Miami at the Jackie Gleason Theater.
April 1st, April Fool's joke, bro. Paulo G is on a plane with Marilyn Martinez and Joy Medina. And they called the Big Bam Bam, bro, on the plane. They called up Ernie G, and they said, hey, man, this is Jim.
Paul pranked him?
Jim Clemens from the Letterman Show, and somehow we got a hold of your video. Can you please call us at 212-262-4544 like that?
New York area code. Bro.
They didn't finish the whole number, though.
Oh, so he's going crazy. Was he calling you guys? Like, trying to get the number or what?
Joey Medina told me, bro.
That's the best prank.
Best prank ever, bro.
How about the one time they got Dill Chompies at the Ice House?
When Rick Gutierrez first moved to L.A., Joey Medina, maybe it was Joey Medina, bro. Joey Medina and Willie Barcena, they crank called him, hey, man, we just got your tape again, and... We're thinking of having a development meeting. I can just meet at the Ice House around 2 p.m. And we'll have her there. That fool takes a shower, bro. Dying to have a cigarette. He don't have cigarette breath. And he gets there, bro. And there's a note that says, loser. Or welcome to L.A. Something like that, dude. That fool never knew, man.
You hear some funny stories about some of these, like, big-name comics, like do just some funny shit like that. Like, or even, like, sending... just like chicks to rooms and stuff like that, but it'll be like some like overly obese chick or something that they pay to come to somebody's room now, you know, like, hey, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing here? Like, how, you know, dancing, all of that. So you just hear funny stories. That shit's hilarious, though.
Hey, dude, those towns are still kind of corrupt over there, like Cicero, Melrose Park, and all those places.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I heard a dude that living there, because my grandparents used to live there. But anyways, like, when you open up a business, they'll give you the license. But then, like, a dude will come in. Hey, you got to get the fire sprinklers from us. Yeah. Hey, you got to get
you
got to
get everything. Every code and ordinance, Cicero has its own. To show you how corrupt that town was, Betty Lauren Maltese, whose husband was a made mobster, she was the town president because it's
townships or something.
Yes,
right?
Yes. So it's a
town. They don't have aldermen over in that
it's,
part.
It's town president, and she was living in Vegas while running running Cicero while she was living in Vegas.
Are you serious?
Yes. That's how corrupt it is. Up until 2000. Crazy. Then she went to jail for
living in Vegas.
She went to jail for like 8 years Cicero. Because of all of that racketeering and all that stuff and payouts.
And it's funny, supposedly, too, like when Obama was running, that's one thing they never mentioned, that he came from a corrupt-ass state. And then that Rog Blagojevich got busted trying to sell his seat.
Yeah.
That guy, there was a guy that when I was working in Vegas, doing press, he was from Chicago. And he told me that the biggest mobster in Chicago never got arrested. He stood out of the limelight. He let Sam Giancana get all the press. Yep. What was his name? It was Tony Batts.
Tony Accardo.
And that fool I read more about him. He was one of the killers at
the biggest
the Valentine's Day massacre.
One of my dad's best friends was one of the drivers for Capone.
And that fool said that he started, he was taxing a bunch of whorehouses in Chicago.
Al Capone had one like 4 blocks from my house in Cicero.
And then later on in the 80s, when shit was changing, that Tony Batts made it an escort, a legitimate escort service.
There was at least three whorehouses in Cicero.
Wow.
And there was the one that in Capone's day, it was like a club. Restaurant, all that stuff, and a brothel all in one. And the lady who was the madam, she lived there until she passed away. And I wanted to go in that house so bad. Because I'm like, there's got to be some shit in here.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to have some very there's something
in the walls
in his house.
Or
yeah,
something.
Something's in here. And then they just knocked that place down. And she had like a million cats. She had like over 100 cats. He was called her Cat Lady. It was fucking weird.
But like, Tony Bass never been arrested either.
Tony Accardo. I went to school with his granddaughter.
What was the success of not getting caught?
He just threw it away. He
those old mobsters,
he never talked on the phone. He was never in a group.
Yeah.
Running it.
He was the head of all the syndicate.
Yeah,
not just of Chicago, of all of it.
Really, dude?
Because that's how Giancana back in the day, too, was like that, too. That he was the head, not like anyone from New York, that Sam was the man. Like, he was head of everything.
He was dating one of the McGregor sisters, right? One of the singers?
I don't know.
There were these three singers. There were twin triplets, and they were, I don't know. He was dating one of them.
I know, but Sam liked a little bit of the limelight, I think.
Yeah.
Sam
should kind of look cool, though, bro.
No, yeah.
He got that nice suit.
Yeah.
And the slick black hair and then the rimmed black glasses.
And they say he would, like, try to date Hollywood starlets and stuff like that.
He's the one that was getting pursued by Robert F. Kennedy, right?
I think, yeah. One of, yeah. Something like that. Cicero was nuts, man. But, again, you didn't know that as a kid, like. You know, you knew everybody on the block knew you. You could be disciplined by somebody on the block. You know, somebody telling
that's
you,
old
hey,
school right there.
Yeah, beyond old school. Like now, try to say something to some kid like, hey, get out of the fucking street, kid. You're about to get hit.
Yeah.
Don't tell my kid. Who the fuck are you to talk? You're like, okay, let this fucking idiot get hit then. Like, are you kidding me? I'm trying to help your kid out.
Where did the Irish live over there in Chicago?
Chicago, there was no exact location. No, it was no clumps of like, even though like how, I mean, Chicago is so segregated. But in Cicero, there was no segregation. It was everybody just, you know, there probably was.
There was no ethnic
no, there was
segregation.
No, yeah, there,
but
was
there
no,
were no
yeah,
black people.
Yeah,
there,
or no, definitely. Yeah, no, yeah. Black people wouldn't even come to Cicero.
They always stuck to the South Side?
Yeah, black people would not. The only time they would ever come to Cicero would go to Sportsman's Racetrack. And then I had buddies, because you said to go to Sportsman's Racetrack, you would have to come from Chicago. And you would take Cicero Avenue. So once you got to Cicero Avenue, you would turn down, 31st, and you would make the left, and you'd have to go under this Vidoc. And when you would have to go under the Vidoc, I would have buddies that would sit up on the Vidoc, and when they would see a car come, if it was a black guy, they would throw rocks at their car. I'm like, why the fuck do you do that? And they're like, fuck these N-words. And I was like, dude, like, they ain't bothering you.
It's like the Bronx Tale.
Yeah. I was like, that's literally what it was like. Like, so I was like, but they're not bothering you. They ain't doing nothing, man. How would you feel if somebody's throwing rocks at your dad's car? Like, what the fuck? So I wouldn't do shit like that. So, but, you know, you get ingrained with certain things. And then at the same time, you either, because I think, I don't care what anybody says, I think racism starts at home. Like,
if
you got parents that, you know, are like that, I'm like, my parents never talked about stuff like that. I mean, did they ever say the N-word or stuff? I'm sure they did, but it wasn't like, but I'm not going to say it wasn't with hatred, or it was with hatred. I don't know, but I don't know. I just,
a lot of love. Like, man, that N-word really could dance.
Yeah. Yeah. Like talking about Jordan, that N-word can really jump. Like, is he amazing? Like, I love Jordan.
That's funny, man. I did a podcast with a movie podcast because we saw that movie, The Hateful Eight, right? The cowboy movie?
Mm-hmm. Tarantino one?
Tarantino one.
Hatefully.
Yeah, and what's the name of the guy with the podcast? We had him on the show.
Oh, Dwayne Perkins?
Dwayne Perkins. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so they took the N-word like more time than I ever heard, thousands. Right? Thousands, right?
That's Quentin Tarantino.
So what's the name of that comedian again?
Dwayne Perkins.
So Dwayne Perkins, we had a game when we saw that movie. We counted how many times they said the N-word in a positive way. it was the same, bro. Same number of times.
Well, I the first time I came out here, you know, I had my car out here and whatnot yet, so I took the 210. I don't know, somebody asked me to come do it at like the Laugh Factory or at a comedy store. So I take the 210 and all that stuff. And I'm like, I had never heard the N-word said so many times.
By Mexicans.
No, by a black kid. But he said this. Every other word was like my N-word. You know what I'm saying? My N-word. I was like,
oh, hell
I wanted
yeah.
to say, like, I wanted to stop and be like, dude, how many fucking times are you going to call this dude and reference your buddy as the N-word? Like, you know what I'm saying? My N-word. And then he say something, my N-word. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, he's making my fucking ears hurt. I said, dude, like, shut the fuck up already.
Did Jordan help out race relations at all in Chicago, do you think?
You know what? It's weird because I would even say this like about my dad. Like my dad would say racist things, not even realizing I don't think he's saying them. He'd be like, yeah, black people love chicken and watermelon. I'm like, you like chicken and watermelon. Like, the fuck are you saying? Like, are we black, dad? Like,
I like it too, man.
You don't like fucking chicken. I love it. The El Pollo Loco by me on Crenshaw. And Artesia is the best El Pollo Loco. I think those dudes in there season it themselves. Like,
they
like
change the El Pollo Loco recipe.
Yes, like they like we're gonna do it the way we want it. Because I hate when people say something like is like Chipotle or something's not authentic Mexican. Well, of course it's not. But then what is authentic Mexican? I'm like, all Mexicans are in there making it. They're all the ones working in there. So
it's really just beans and meat and rice there.
It's authentic to me.
It's cold tortilla.
I had a good burrito in Chicago, too, man. Famos burrito.
Chicago.
El Famous burrito, I think.
El Famous. Chicago, in my opinion, has
the best
Mexican food on the planet. I've not found good Mexican food.
You're not hanging out with the right people.
Yeah, you've gone to the wrong place.
It has but, good Mexican food, but not the best.
Because there's a – my sister used to live in this – I don't know. It's like right outside of downtown Chicago. And it's one block. It's an Italian block. There's six Italian restaurants on one block. It's called.
Just who's reference right now? You were gonna say Chipotle.
No, El Pollo Loco is that one by me. I'm telling you, Crenshaw and Artesia, the best El Pollo Loco there is. That dude seasons it himself. But my sister, so outside of that one block, it's called Little Italy. Mm-hmm. It was all Hispanics moving over there. So there were, and when I would go to Chicago, I would stay with her, so I don't have to get in a hotel and stuff like that. So. There's always this Mexican dude, Javier. He'll be pushing that cart. It'll be like 6:30 in the morning. I'm sleeping in the living room on her couch. Dale. No, he'll be like, raspas, frutas, elotes, ringing that fucking bell. And I'm like, dude, it's fucking 6:30 in the morning. Who's eating that shit at 6:30 in the morning? And I'm like, now that you woke me up, let me get one of them corns. Like, yeah, let me get one of them elotes. Put that mayonnaise on there with that orange, that sprinkled shit you put on there. Like, let me get one of those. It's 6:30 in the morning. I'm eating this shit. Wonder why I got high cholesterol.
This fool Javier is a G.
Who's a G?
Javier, somebody who's listening live said Javier is a G for doing that.
Oh, for doing that. Yeah, El Pollo, he's seasoning himself. I don't, it might be Javier. I don't know, but he is. That's the only El Pollo Loco that I go to. I'm
hungry now for our favorite burrito right now.
No, Chicago. And then there's a place on Cicero called Mr. Taco. It's on Ogden Avenue in Austin. It's been there for like fucking 40 years. When I went back, I had it, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago. That place is exactly the same. They've not changed anything in it, and they make a killing. And that burrito tasted exactly like I remember when I was a kid. I was like, oh. This
is how about pizza place? You have fun good pizza in L.A.?
No.
Go to Massa.
No, I'll tell you
Massa
that.
Massa sucks.
You don't like the Chicago pizza? You've been there? Nickel
yeah,
Park?
Yeah.
Come on, no, bro.
That chef is from Chicago.
No.
He's from Chicago, bro. Come on.
No, that's
sucks. You want a casserole or
no,
what?
No, that's sucks. You
want a pizza is, casserole?
No, if you're going to get real deep dish pizza, you got to go to Paisano's on State Street in Chicago.
That's Paisano's? Is that the place you said?
Paisano's. It's
no, Giordano's.
Giordano's. But Giordano's
is touristy, though.
Yeah, it's more touristy, but Paisano's is authentic. Uno's is definitely authentic, hands down, one of the best. But no, yeah, you got to go. And then Portillo's, but there's a Portillo's out here. So
yeah.
Where
Moreno Valley?
Buena Park.
Moreno Park, Moreno Valley has one now.
Yeah, you got to go to You ain't had Portillo's, bro?
I did a long time ago. Hot dogs and shit.
No, yeah.
Oh, we were at Riddles.
Hot dogs. Oh, yeah.
That was one across the street. Yeah. Yeah.
Right by that White Castle.
Yeah. Man, those were the days. When we used to do that.
Italian
like,
beef.
Did we talk about how many people were in that show already?
No.
Tell them how many who was on the show, bro.
Five, dude. It was me, Martin Moreno.
Rick Gutierrez.
Felipe. Who else? Joey Diaz.
And him.
Yeah.
And Joey Villagomez.
Man, Joey
Villagomez. No, I don't, it wasn't Villagomez. No. It was a Spigga.
Oh, Alex Ortiz.
Alex Ortiz.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Yes. Yeah.
The Spigga.
Well, I miss those Riddle days, man. With man. Diaz, Ari Shaffir, that's crazy ass right. Burt.
Sucker.
Yeah. You do him a mi- Dude, you sound just like
do it with Villa.
Bro, there's not going to be no voices today. You know what I'm saying? Hang on, I'm wheezing.
Yeah. I went to a Dodger game, me and Eddie Bravo, 16 kids. It was amazing. Do or die. Ha, ha, ha.
Your voice going to be killing you when you're done doing
nah, it. Nah, I'm all right.
I get
I'm
notes right. on your vocal cords.
And about the he's
you sound just like him, dude. That's amazing.
So what do you prefer, man? Cubs? Or White Sox?
White Sox.
Yeah? You never? Would you ever go to a Cubs game?
I've gone to Cubs game.
Cause one time when I was in Chicago, Mikey O'Teller gave me some Sox tickets, and that fool, Joey Villagomez, blatantly said I ain't going without me inviting. I wasn't even going to invite that motherfucker, dog. He said he ain't going. Shit, we went to a Sox game, right? Bam! We know one of the trainer guys now.
Okay.
He's a fan. I got to meet Harold Baines.
Okay.
He awesome. Gave me an autograph. Bah!
That's cool. Dude, it was cool, man.
Oh, my God.
No, that was one of the cool things, too.
That was fun,
like,
man.
Like, we don't know who knows us, and that's, like, one of the cool things that comes with it. Like, when you get somebody who's famous and that you're a fan of, and then not even realizing, like, they're a fan of yours as well. You're like, oh, you even know who I am? Like Derrick Rose, when he was Derrick Rose, MVP Derrick Rose.
He
would always want me to hang with him, and I'm like,
Derrick Rose was both, man.
Well, I have a shoot in my house. He would hit me up and be like, you know, what are you doing? And I'm like.
Did you kick it with that fool?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I used to hang with him. I used to go to the clubs with him all the time.
You want to kick it with you?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. I was like, because when I met him at the I was doing Martin Lawrence's First Amendment. We were doing it at the Chicago Theater. And you've done the Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
You know how you go in for the entrance for the entertainment and whatnot, and all the trucks and whatnot are set up on the side. Like it's an alley, but it's not an alley. So I was, you know, getting ready to go in, and Derek was on the side over there, and he was calling me. And I was like, you know, I hear somebody saying Ray. So I look, and I see it's Derek Rose. And I'm like, he's not calling me Ray. He's like, it must be some Ray behind me. So I'm looking, and he's looking like, what the fuck? I
was, it'll be Ray Lewis.
Like, you here? So I walked over to him. I was like, hey, dude. And like, you know, I was like, you know who I am? He was like, yeah, you're one of my favorite comedians. I said, wow, damn, cool. Same thing with Evan Turner, plays for now the Portland Trail Blazers. He wasn't even on the Sixers. He wasn't drafted yet. I was in downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue. I was on the west side of Michigan Avenue. He was on the east side. And I hear some black dude screaming my name. And I'm like, who the fuck is this big-ass black dude screaming my name? So as he's walking across the street, I'm like, okay, I know this dude, but I don't know his name. And then as he's getting closer and closer, I said, damn, that's Evan Turner. That's right when he just left Ohio State and he was the Naismith College Player of the Year. And I was like, hey, damn, you're Evan Turner. And he's like, yeah, like you're Ray Lepowski. And I was like, yeah. So I said, you know who I am? And same thing. He said almost the same thing verbatim like Rose said. He's like, yeah, you're one of my favorite comedians. I watch you all the time when I'm having a bad day. And I said, man, like,
damn, dude, that's
appreciated,
awesome.
Bro. But you ever get somebody say some shit like this to you? Like, hey, are you Felipe Esparza? And you'd be like, yeah. He'll be like, no, you're not. You'd be like, what the fuck? Like, someone came up and he said, are you Ray Lepowski? I said, yeah. He's like, no, you're not. I said, you're right, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. I'm like, okay, make up my mind. Am I me or am I not me? Like, are you fucking kidding me? And then when Dane Cook was big, I'm on this plane. I got the aisle seat. I got two young white kids, like maybe 12 and 13, middle and a window seat.
Foo Fighters.
Hey, dude.
Yeah, they're looking at me and they're like, they just kept staring at me. I said, you guys want to say something to me? They're like, is your name Ray Lepowski? And I said, yeah. They're like, do you know Dane Cook? And I said, man, get the fuck out of here, man.
You should give him a foo fight.
You don't care about me. You care about Dane Cook.
Did Derrick Rose ever ask you to hold his crutches while he gets in the car?
No. No, I ain't talked to him ever since, like, he had the knee blowout. Like, he went into, like, seclusion and, you know, I don't know. Like, he was always
he was
just aloof and, you know, he was, like – he was like a private dude with the exception of, I mean, he went out to clubs from time to time. But, you know, family, definitely family-oriented man, you know, loves his family and whatnot. But, after he blew out his knee, I text him a few days after, and I was like, hey, bro, like, you know, keep you in my prayers. You know,
still want to hang out?
Yeah, right. You want to go to the club? Look for some bitches. No. So I never heard from him again. So,
you know, the Salamanca family loves you, by the way. Salamanca. Somebody said. But that's Salamanca from a fucking...
From Breaking Bad?
That's a town in Guanajuato, Salamanca.
What's up, fool? Yep. Master, what's it like, man? You work with D-Day Ravens.
Yeah,
D-Day. A lot of people, I open up with a lot of people too, man. Like Russell Peters, fucking Paul Rodriguez. What was it like to go on the road with these guys? You started with these guys, huh?
Well, yeah, I've been working with D-Ray for like, you know, not that I've been working with him, but I mean, I've known D-Ray for 19 years. And, you know, sometimes comics can fall into where I think I'm kind of at, where you fall into a place where some big name comics don't want to use you. Like, there's got to be some big name comics that don't want to use you, not because they don't like you, because you're too funny and you're going to make them have to really work or struggle to come after you.
They'll give me five.
Yeah, then go hit them with that quick five. What right? What can you really do?
In, quick five.
Yeah, what can you really do in 5 minutes?
Tell her, give me a quick five.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a quick five, there, motherfucker.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Did you know Corey Holcomb?
Of course.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's not, you know, comics, but when you get somebody like D-Ray who you know, looks out for
or Mike Epps.
But D-Ray always, Mike Epps too, they always like a strong.
Like Scruncho, like strong.
They like
fool,
somebody
man.
Who they know is going to kill, who is.
Who could do an hour and then be late.
There's not a lot of comics like that because then they feel like for D-Ray, not that I'm going to speak
who
for
could
him.
Do an hour because I'm going to be late.
Oh, yeah. You know who I had to do that for, and I was pissed.
Yo, Hughley.
No, for fucking Ari Spears. Oh. He doesn't speak to nobody. He doesn't say shit. We did a college. I want to say it was like Wake Forest University. I was only supposed to do 30. It was only me and him. Well, it was a woman who booked us, a female comedian. She's from out there, like in the North Carolina way, because I think Wake Forest is North Carolina.
Yeah, I think.
So she hosted it. Deborah Terry, she did like 10 minutes. I had to do 30, and then Ari's supposed to do like his 45 to 50. I do my 30. Ari's still not there, so she's like, Ray, you know, can you do like another 15? So I do the 15 now. So now I'm at 45. She's like, Ray, I don't think he's coming. So she's just like, you know, keep going. I had to do another 45.
Oh, my God.
I did another 40.
Did
another 45.
An hour and a half?
I did an hour and a half. What? Now he finally comes, and he acts like it's no big deal. And because she wasn't going to pay him. And then he ends up going up. He didn't say a word to me. Didn't speak to me. Didn't say, hey, like,
didn't
thanks,
say
bro.
Thanks.
Didn't say shit to me.
Wow.
Didn't even speak to me. And I was like,
wow.
So when you see people, I'm never going to speak ill or bad about anybody. But I look at it as when you see people who are funny that are going through some things that they're going through. And I'm thinking, like, what are you really going through? Because there's a lot of people, a lot of comics that would love to have the livelihood that you have and be booked at the amount of times that you're booked. Because I tell people all the time, like, when you're having a bad day, stop and ask yourself, compared to who? Mm-hmm. Who are you having a bad day to?
Compared,
you
know, compared to Nick Guerra, bro.
So.
Got punched by Willie.
So, catch me slipping at a restaurant, dog.
But,
here with my little sample.
Yeah, so, you know, some comics, I think, like, if you don't respect the game, the game's not going to respect you.
Eventually.
I know.
It caught up. Yeah, I think it caught up.
And there's somebody, I'm not going to say his name, it caught up to him too. I had a one-night show in at the Fort Lauderdale Improv or whatever it is.
It's Hollywood or whatever.
I got a one-nighter Thursday, and it's the 10:30 show. He's booked for the weekend. His show is at 8 o'clock. He's got the one show Thursday, and then the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He's over now a half hour. He's over. The manager's lighting him. He looks at the manager, says, I see the light. I'm not getting off. Fuck that light. Okay. The lines, my show sold out. 500 people sold it because it's one of the bigger improvs. It sold out. We're like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? So now the host for my show is like lighting him too. Nothing. He ended up doing like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. When there's a show after.
There's a show after.
Was his show packed?
No, hell no. It was like half of us a Thursday. Not
he was expressing himself.
So
yeah, let's just say
he then comes after the show, says, "Man, my fault, you guys. I wasn't conscious at the time. Let me teach you. We're like, how can you possibly say
the light?
Yeah, you said F the light. You see the light, you're not getting off, but you just said you weren't conscious of the time. I was like,
damn.
And now I was thinking to myself, this is exactly why you don't have your TV show no more. Because of shit just like that. Because you think you're bigger than you are now, and you don't respect the game and or the comics that are trying to get to the level that you're at. Like, when you start shitting on comics and shitting on the game and acting like you're bigger than comedy itself, you're done.
Keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah, at least keep it to yourself.
What did he say again for our listeners?
He said, fuck that light. I'm not getting it. I see the light. I'm not getting off. I see the light.
Later he lied.
This is the manager lighting you. I see the light. Looking direct, I see the light. I'm not getting off. Fuck that light. And then proceeded to do at least another 45 after
off.
That. I kept telling myself, you got to
put the microphone went off?
I would have cut it.
No, they
never did. I said I would have cut his
microphone
off.
And for that show, for that 500, for that show that was sold out for my show, I want to say probably like 120 people left. Because it was so late. And it's a Thursday night. People got to go to work. It's already 10:30. My show didn't start to almost like probably like midnight.
Shit.
When it should be ending at midnight.
If I was a manager, I'd have somebody walk up there and put him in the sleeper.
Well, there was a younger, newer comic years ago at the Laugh Factory. I remember he was bombing on Latino night. He was bombing after like five
bombing.
Minutes.
Bombing. Supposed to do 20.
Supposed to do 20. He was bombing after five. Jamie himself. Walked in there. And it's like, who the fuck is this guy? He sucks. He went and lit him.
Did he have long hair?
He's flashing. He had long hair. He has long hair now. Anyway, he was flashing him over and over and over. He didn't get off. He did the 20. Whoa. He finally gets off. Jamie said, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you get off? And Mika was standing there, too. Why didn't you get off? I wasn't done yet. I didn't finish my 20.
Got lit, though, dog.
The owner lit you. You get the fuck off the stage. He never performed there again, like as far as I know.
I had the mayor of Chicago Heights take me off the stage. I had to do a show. For these old white people, all the old white people that were retired workers for the town of Chicago Heights. So when I got there, you know, it was a little $100 gig, and it was like 5 minutes from my house. So, again, all these old white people retired. So I'm supposed to just host it. So I'm hosting it. Like my first 10 minutes, I'm killing them. And then all of a sudden, I just paused. And when I paused, some old lady, probably like about 80, she was like, you know, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? I'm taking a break. She's like, why? And I was like, what the hell? So then I forget what she said in the dialogue that we had, but this is the part I remember. She's like, well, you're not funny right now. You're like, what are you doing? I said, lady, it doesn't matter if I'm funny. She's like, what do you mean?
Is that Adam Sandler?
No, it's this lady.
So it's Whitey, one of his characters.
Madam Sandler.
So she says, she's like, she's
I'm sorry, that was funny.
It was.
Happy Madison joke.
So she says, what do you mean it doesn't matter? I said, because half of you in here got Alzheimer's. I said, I could be the funniest comic you ever seen or the worst you ever seen. By tomorrow, you ain't going to remember this shit anyway. Man, that mayor was like, no, he didn't come up yet. That's not what pissed him off. So then I talked about how when I was a kid, Cicero didn't have no garbage disposal pickup where you had to pay for it. It was garbage service. Waste management. You got to pay for that shit. So I said, who came up with the scam for this fucking waste management shit? It was his parents that owned the business.
Ooh,
so he came up on stage and literally like took me off.
They call up Hollywood, y'all know where.
You're done.
So, I mean, there's the stories you got to have, dude, as much as you're on the road, dude. And when some of these funny-ass dudes you're with, you got to have stories for days.
Triple G or Canelo?
I'm going with Triple G.
Triple G.
Me Rodrigo? Too. Triple G.
I'm going with Triple G.
I have no idea. I don't know anything.
A lot of the critics are saying Canelo, though.
Canelo's last fight, he ate some tacos in Mexico, and he said they were laced with steroids. That was his excuse. Yes or no?
He went to the El Pollo Loco by me.
Triple G, Rodrigo?
Triple G.
Or Canelo Colorado. What's up, fool? Upcoming shows, Atlantic City, New Jersey, September 7th at the Borgata,
that's
Washington, D.C.
Friday.
September 8th, that's this Saturday, at the National Harbor Casino, Las Vegas, September 14th, at the Joint, at the Hard Rock Casino.
And you're going to be at the weigh-in that day, too.
Yeah, me and you could probably even weigh ourselves after. Laughlin, September 15th at Edgewater Casino. Continue. Lexington, Kentucky, September 20th to the 22nd at comedy off-Broadway, Springfield, Massachusetts, September 29th at City Stage Symphony Hall. Check out FelipeWorld.com/tour for all upcoming shows. Podcast t-shirts are on sale now at the FelipeWorld.com shop. We also have tote bags. That's right, tote bags. For those of you guys who care about the environment, we have tote bags for you to go grocery shopping with. They only cost $5. Also, you can also buy the digital download and translate this on my webpage, too. Mm-hmm. Shout out to those four people who bought the album this week.
The vinyl.
The vinyl.
Double vinyl. It's cool.
You have upcoming shows?
Yeah, I'll be with D-Ray this weekend in Richmond.
Hey, were you there? Virginia. Sorry, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, Richmond. We're in Richmond this weekend. Yeah, Richmond, Virginia at the, is it the Funny Bone? Or is that the Funny Bone?
Funny Bone, yeah.
Richmond, Virginia.
He still does Funny Bone over there? Isn't that his area? Isn't that his market over there? D.C., Virginia?
D.C., like when
D.C. did
when
like 10 shows, right?
11. We did 11.
What was that like?
That was crazy.
Did they just keep adding them once you were there, or did they add them before he even got there?
Some of them
They have the same agent.
Some of them are before, but yeah, like
D.C. You did 2 shows Thursday, 1 show Thursday?
I want to say Thursday we did one, but we just like we did
like 3 every other night. Or something.
We did Nebraska, but we stopped in Nebraska and we did Omaha. He did 2 sold-out shows on a Thursday because it was already booked for the weekend. But whoever the comedian was there that was there for the weekend, he didn't do the Thursday. Mm. So being that we were going to Kansas City, we stopped and did Omaha, and he did the 2 sold-out shows for a Thursday, which is big because I've not seen many comics sell out Thursdays, yeah. And he did 2 sold-out Thursday shows, and then we went
in Omaha.
Yeah, in Omaha.
Omaha.
Then we did Friday.
How about Toby?
Oh, was good, Omaha.
What was it like to do 11 shows, though?
Oh, it was crazy. It's tiring, you know.
So the 3 shows Sunday. And you do like 30 minutes, 25, 15?
Yeah, I got to do 30 because it was just me and him. So
my leg.
It's just me and him.
You and him, no opener?
No, yeah.
He sells merch?
No, he used to. He don't. I don't know why he don't.
You do?
Yeah, I sell CD.
Well, I saw Scrunch on a plane. He had a middle seat next to me, and then he was talking about the shows. Then I started dozing off, and a big whop of money came off his pocket, and I picked it up and I said, "Man, your money is come unstowed." and then he said, DVD money.
He calls it mattress money.
Mattress money. But he sold a shitload of DVDs or CDs. Yeah. Outrageous. Like he sold everything.
Some comics do. They say Michael Collier sells like crazy. And it's like $40.
He sells hats, right?
The fool sells capes, bro.
I don't know. But it's crazy.
Fur capes.
I don't know, dude. But they say the amount of money that he makes in merch sales is
Forget
insane.
About it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like insane.
All right, we got to wrap it up.
What's up, fool? What's your Instagram since you have an Instagram now?
I am Comedian Lipowski. Comedian Lip. LIPOWSKI. Comedian Lipowski. It's just my last name. So comedian in front of it and my last name. And man, I truly appreciate it. Been a fan of yours, bro.
Thank you,
love
bro.
You. And I wish you, both of you guys,
thank you.
Continued success in all you do and aspire to do, man. Love you, man.
I love you too, man. We're trying to get D-Ray Davis to call in.
Okay.
And bust your balls, but I guess he's a busy man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of the sisters must have responded. Okay,
I plug these two people that came
plug
out.
Plug it, dog.
Yeah, shout outs to Ricky at RickyN207 on Twitter. Came out to the Brea shows. As for a shout out, and Jenna at Jen Stupid on Twitter. Congratulations on your 5-year anniversary with your boyfriend. And September 11th, Viva Los Jokes, Zacatecas Cafe, 8 p.m.
Shout out to Raleigh Fingers, man.
Oh, that was fucking badass, dog.
Oh my god,
I was tripping, dog. I was like, dude. All right.
Starstruck, bro.
He still got that mustache?
Yeah,
fuck yeah!
Bro. And the black tips on it, huh?
Yeah, man.
What's up with that, dude?
You took a picture?
I took a picture, bro, and I stalked him.
Is he like, do you think he's like Joe Namath? Does he still get up with girls and stuff?
Well, he was there with his wife and his son.
He's
dude.
A family guy then.
And he was
Joe Namath still banging chicks?
Well, did he get busted for grabbing that one girl by the cheek and going, I don't know.
At the Cheesecake Factory?
All drunk. No, probably like 5 years ago now.
I know, like that generation thing, they could just grab women and kiss them, bro. Like all of a sudden,
you can't do that no more.
So those the kissing were the good bandit right here, bro. Ray Rapasi with a cape and a White Sox hat.
He has his own kissing booth in Cicero.
Yeah, you can't do that no more. Like, I remember guys just like every time meeting a woman, it's kissing them, bro.
Hey, you remember that one
time? My dad.
You were gone, though, dude. You took off, but
the Willie Laps again or what?
No, dude. Fucking Big Dog made out with a 70-year-old lady from the stage, dude.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. When? I was talking to Martin about that last night.
Long time ago?
Yeah, it was like 2004.
It was an old
lady, dog. She was older than Debbie. She was like 70 at that time.
Stuff. And then he came back the next day. Did she come back the next day all dressed up?
No, that's another one. But she wasn't in, that lady that came back to that strip wasn't as old as that lady. Fool, she was 60. This lady was 75.
So we're talking about that one time.
So how old is he?
At that time?
He's like your age now.
He was probably 40. 50, he was pushing 50.
Probably 48.
He was born in 62 or 66. One of those years.
But how old is he at the time?
When I have no idea.
Late 40s.
Oh, yeah. 47.
There was this one, what time he met up with his chola, bro? She must have been straight out of prison or something, dude. She was wearing like almost like Chance, bro, like cholo shorts and long socks and almost like a Pendleton, bro.
Wait, but you said that was like disgusting too, though, like with him kissing.
Fucking sick,
so man. I'm wondering now, like when I was kissing this like 24-year-old, if like her friends were thinking like that's disgusting, like you're kissing that dude. Like, he's 20, too old.
You're like 25 years off, dude. But he got into it, dude. But that's back when he used to
got
get,
into it.
When he used to get those tequila shots, he'll tell everybody it's Patron, but it was just Cuervo, and then like somebody will take the shot and go, "This ain't Patron, bro." But he was gone, dog.
That's how Anthony Mason was. He used to play for the Knicks.
I love Anthony Mason. He was my favorite player.
He knew if it wasn't Patron, like, because he only drank Patron the gold.
Yeah, you could tell, dude.
No, he knew.
It goes like, down, dude. Oh, he'd be. Cuervo, right when you bring it right, you'll smell it by that time.
That's the only thing he would drink. He would, and he would make you drink. And if you didn't drink, he'd, like, punch you in the chest. I said, dude, you're like 6'9", 300 pounds.
Sound like the owner of El Tepeyac, bro. Manny, right?
I'll take two, yeah. The big Anthony, Manny, the big
Anthony Mason was the first basketball player I remember who had those huge deltoids, you know, that just giant.
So you like deltoids, huh?
No, I'm just saying. I did not. I wasn't
Fuck
attracted
that guy.
To him. I wasn't attracted to him. He's an amazing player, but.
How many laughs are you going to do that? Get those fucking shoulders.
You got to go buy those, bro. That's like a Sorry. Band, huh? The deltoids.
Right, yeah. What
the Delphonics, right?
I knew it was Del something. Yeah, I think that sounds familiar.
That's a good word.
The Deltoids.
That'd be cool. Like, that'd be a like, good name. Band or something, a little crooner group.
That'd be a good name.
I'm swimming.
That's what I thought there really
the
was.
Dude, the Deltoids, dude.
Deltoids.
The Deltoids.
There's three heads of your deltoid. You got three hilarious. Parts of it. Front,
is
the
there?
Back.
I don't even know what a deltoid was.
What's up, fool?
Deltoids this way. This way, also.
Shout out to Lisa the Snow Queen, people. What's up, fool? Ray Lepowski, get out of here.
Yeah, man.
Go say what's up with him. After you were with D-Ray, then where you at after that?
Just with him. I've just been on the road with him, so I've left the dates, you know, just so I'm readily accessible to do those dates.
Hell yeah.
That's easy. A lot of no pressure. Well, yeah.
It makes it to whereas, you know, again, like if I have my own gigs, though, and then I don't want to be to where I'm not available.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, oh, well, he can't do it. Get somebody else. And then
forget about you.
Yeah, then I'm not in a rotation no more.
Who was wishing?
All my gigs are like, I have none.
That's what happened with Ari Shaffir and that dude that we met at the All Things Comedy
Festival.
What's that? He was a big, tall dude. Kind of
Stanhope? Oh.
No, he's
were talking with him.
Oh, Justin. I mean, you're talking about
Justin. He's a ghostwriter for that
I mean, not Thoreau.
He's from Detroit, I think. Mike Young.
Oh, Mike Young,
so he canceled on Rogan, and then he took Ari Shaffir, and then, you know, they spawned their relationship.
Yeah, I saw Joe in the airport one time, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a groupie of any kind. But
you look like you'd be his brother, dude.
Yeah, you see Rogan.
You're Joe Rogan, bro.
But, you see Joe Rogan in the airport, so I was like, you know, hey, you know, and he's trying to be inconspicuous and all that stuff.
He can't, bro. Well, I'm just walking with kettlebells.
Well, I'm just.
His bags but, you know, are kettlebells.
So I said to try to like.
But he's cool though.
Yeah, I know. I didn't do the whole like, oh, I'm a comedian too. I don't
right,
do that
right,
stuff.
Right.
So I was just, we got a mutual friend. He's like, oh, do we? He's like,
Felipe.
Who's that? No, I didn't know you knew him like that. So
that?
I said,
who's
Ari. And so then that's what made him stop. Because, like, you know, he's trying to get away from me. So that's when right. I said Ari. He kind of like, I was like, oh, I said, well, yeah, so I used to work with Ari a lot in Chicago. I said, you know, back in the Riddle Comedy Club days, I said, you know, me and Ari used to work together a lot, and as well as Joey Diaz. So then when I just,
that's right.
Then he right like, the now he's just,
he realized you weren't a stalker. Crazy.
Yeah. And the fact that I think that he respected that I didn't have to tell him I was a comic.
Yeah.
I just, by the fact that I said, we got a mutual friend. Then I said, you know, we used to work together a lot in Chicago. Then obviously he puts two and two together. Oh, he's a comic too. And he was cool. I mean, it was quick, but he was cool. Like, who else did I meet in airport?
Have you tried Shroom Tech?
No. What's his name from Jackass? Johnny Knoxville.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want to. You couldn't even try to speak to him.
No, he didn't want
to. No, he didn't want to talk whatsoever.
Trying to be too cool for school all the time.
You don't like him, huh?
I don't like him.
You should have broke a chair on yourself in front of him, bro. Can I be in the show?
No, yeah, he didn't want to talk.
I saw him years ago.
Damn, dude.
In front of, we were waiting for Roscoe's. Bummer. We were at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles when I was a tourist here with my, like, the third time, fourth time.
You said, look at those deltoids.
No. A peanut. He's tall, skinny dude.
Like, he don't eat.
But he was trying so hard to get noticed, and I was not giving him the time of day. And my friend wasn't. She was ignoring him too. We're all waiting outside in front of Roscoe's, like,
before
different pockets.
Jackass?
That's when I met the Yin, the
Booyah Tribe.
Booyah Tribe, and we took a picture with them and all that stuff. I was like, fuck that guy over there. I know he wants everybody to come over to him, but I'm more interested in these guys than that.
That was before Jackass?
No, this is after Jackass.
Oh, okay.
And he had his pants all high, trying to look all hipster.
But now,
like,
that's weird,
cool.
though, because when I saw him and he was with his wife, I'm assuming his wife and his kids, nobody was even speaking to him, though. Like, he was looking for attention, but at the same time, there was nobody going up to Johnny Knoxville. Yeah. Like, and I was like, he just came off that movie. I forget what movie it was.
Walking
Ringer, Tall. The Ringer, or something one of those.
He just came off of a movie, so it wasn't like he's not relevant. I mean, he's not Jackass relevant no more. But I mean, still, it's Johnny Knoxville. It's a body of work. It's not what you just did yesterday. But nobody was saying nothing to him. I was shocked.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, you should be wanting to speak to me. He didn't want me to say
I thought
shit
he was
to
cool,
him.
Dog.
Lisa tried to poison Ethan Hawke at a restaurant.
I did try to poison him. He was a jerk to me. But Gwyneth Paltrow was very sweet.
That's why I love her.
Yeah. She got nice deltoids.
Wait, not Gwyneth Paltrow. What's her face?
Sorry.
Uma
Thurman. Never mind.
Wrong white blonde girl.
You know who
Uma Thurman, right?
Uma Thurman. No, she was super sweet.
Pulp Fiction. Kill Bill.
Yeah, everything. Kill Bill.
Okay.
But they were still together at the time.
You know the one? You know who I don't like is that Charlize Theron or whatever.
Monster?
Charlize.
I don't like her. I don't like her. Just because of the way she was to
she's
that.
From Skokie.
Is she from Skokie?
Nah.
No, she's from South Africa.
But you know that those two twins that had the TV show back in the day?
Olsen twins.
The Maori sisters or
whatever. Oh, yeah. Tia and Tamara.
Yeah, Tia and Tamara. Tamara was, they work out at the same gym, like the same Equinox or whatnot, whatever it was. And whichever one it was, she wasn't even bothered, none of that type of stuff. She was just like, you know, like saying, like, you know, I appreciate you guys, you know, love your work. Like, basically all she was saying.
The twin said that, too.
Yeah, one of the twins
Charlize.
Said that. To Charlize.
Yeah.
Put that plug back in.
And she had the manager come and said, if she's ever in here, I'll never come here again. I'll never work out here again. I was like, you know.
You're lying.
No. To you?
No, to
one,
to the
Maori. She said that to the manager, though.
Wow.
You keep hitting that plug.
You are killing me.
Yeah, but she went off like this. She was bothering me, and and she was like, "No, all I did was like say, hey, I love you, love what you do." Like, that's it. Like, real
brief.
I don't
like her anymore either. Wow,
yeah. Super quick and simple to the point. Like, hey, love what you guys do, and I'm out. Like, say I'm at their show, and after the show, I see them as they're getting ready to leave, and I'm, hey, great show, love you guys, man, and I'm out the door.
Damn.
And that's like all she did. And Theron lady was like, no, like, if she ever
Theron lady.
If she ever comes here again, or if you guys allow her still to retain her membership or whatnot, I will quit. Like, I won't have mine.
You get a home gym or what?
Damn.
What a bitch.
So that's why my point is, like, some of these people, like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Exactly,
yeah, see,
man.
Ethan Hawke. Go ahead. No, I was just going to finish that Ethan story, because he comes in. Uma was there with her, like, niece or something. They had dinner. This was Bobby Flay's restaurant, Mesa Grill in New York City. When Bobby was hot, it had Grillin' and Chillin' show and all those Food Network shows. So it's a nicer restaurant.
I heard you do the Mean Robot.
He did the Running Man.
Oh, fuck that.
Not
shit.
The robot. But anyway, he's a dork. But so anyway, they're having dinner. They had dinner. They were so nice. And the niece is like, oh, Ethan's coming. It's like she was all excited. And I said, oh, okay, whatever. He shows up after the kitchen closes. Kitchen's closed. The chefs, these are chefs. They're not line cooks or anything. They're chefs. They're gone. He comes in and he wants something to eat. And I said, sorry, the kitchen's been closed for like half an hour. Well, Lisa, because they had an open kitchen, like you could see, they had a big picture window, because that's the attraction there. You can watch everybody cook in there. He goes, well, you know, you could, maybe you can go down there and whip me up some nachos or something. First of all, we don't sell fucking nachos.
Nachos?
But he goes, to me, maybe you could go whip me up some nachos.
What?
And I said, well,
not only do you serve, you're also a cook.
And anyway, he was just really insistent that I go make him something.
Make his
and
wish
I
come
said,
true.
I can't. And I said, you know what? There's a coffee shop bar where all the models work right around the corner there in Union Square. You can go over there. It's open 24 hours. And Uma was like, yeah, you know what? We can just, there's lots of places we can go. It's fine. Let's just go. And she was trying to urge him to get out. He was a dick. He was like, come on, Lisa. You could, I know what you, I know you could do something. Whip me up something. Just an asshole. Just like thinks he's somebody, you know? Asshole.
Fuck that.
That's it.
What's up, fool? Rodrigo scared the Olsen twins one time. We were packing a bowl.
Where?
Outside Thrifty's or the fucking CBS on Sunset and La Brea, bro.
Sunset, weird,
over there by the Dodger Stadium.
Where? Who?
The comedy store.
They're skinny and just heads.
They had an SUV. Like, and you started walking to the SUV, and
they rolled
all the
window.
Four windows went down the same went up the same time. We're gonna invite her pack a bowl, man.
Yeah,
they're 21 years old. What's up, fool? Thank you very much to Ray Lepowski. Check him out with D. Ray Davis and all his shows. Lisa over here, Rodrigo Torres. Check him out and be with those jokes. Yeah, man.